Morning, Brian.
Morning, guys.
Boy, did I guess we all predicted that Thatcher Demko would come off the bench and provide a performance like that when he's barely played over the last 6 months, like we saw 2 months ago, right?
Yeah, piece of cake. Easy.
Yeah, that and Hutchinson. Hey, I want to ask you this, Berkey. I mentioned it yesterday because, you know, when suspensions are handed down in the playoffs, you've told us and you've said on national television, you know, you rate it more than a regular season game. So is that the same for Thatcher Demko? You know, he plays a game in that kind of pressure situation. Does that mean that much more when people evaluate his talent?
I would say so, but I mean, it's too small a sample size. We're not ready to build a statue for this guy down on the waterfront. He was great. Now, the reason you think he might be able to continue this is his history has been that he is a money goaltender. He's a great collegiate goaltender, Hobie Baker finalist, goalie of the year, Mike Richter Award. He's legit to this point. He was good in the minors. There's no reason to think he won't be a good NHL goaltender, but I'm not ready to canonize him just yet. I think we got to see a couple more games, but that was exciting the other night. Like, even if you're not a Canucks fan, and I'm kind of because I work there, but even if you're not a Canucks fan, the thing that stood out to me, and I said this on TV, was he looked calm. You know, Markstrom has provided wonderful goaltending to the Canucks through the whole season and the playoffs. But there's times where he looks desperate. He's scrambling and diving and making these great saves, but it's kind of because he was overcommitted to start with. And he's got to rebound and recover. And this kid didn't do that once to me. He was calm, and he looked like Carey Price in terms of that puck's hitting him. He's making the saves he should make. But he looked calm, and he looked reserved, and he looked like he was always ready. So that's what impressed me the most, not the saves. The saves were amazing, but he didn't look nervous. He didn't look out of place. He didn't look, you know, it looked like he'd been in there 10 years.
Well, it's clear that you haven't been here in a little while, because we've actually been spending most of the last 48 hours debating whether to build the statue in Stanley Park or just maybe somewhere more visible in a high traffic area, maybe on Georgia. Hey, tell me this. Michael Hutchinson, two nights in a row for the Colorado Avalanche with the season on the line. You look at Thatcher Demko come, you know, for a lot of people, I think a lot of hockey observers outside of Vancouver go, what? Like, how did that happen? You know, Jake Allen yesterday, the trade to Montreal. Like, is this just all setting the table for just a rethink of the goaltending position, or just what might be the most incredibly explosive goaltending offseason in the history of the sport?
Well, I think what you're seeing is a gradual evolution that's coming to a head quickly, is the evolution of the platoon system. So to borrow a term from baseball, platoon system is where, instead of, you know, the classic where we wanted Kirk McLean to play 60, 65 games and then the backup to play the remainder, you're looking at a more shared workload. You're looking at two goaltenders and you want a 50-30 split. I know that's not 82. These idiots that right away on the internet, they're like, Brian Burke can't count. 50-30 split, roughly. 45, you know, whatever, like Boston, more trying to split the workload so that when you get into the playoffs, A, you have a rested goalie, your starter is a rested goalie, and B, you've got a guy the players are comfortable with in back-to-backs. And we never had back-to-backs in the playoffs since, you know, for 20 years or whatever, but that may be the norm now, because we don't know what next year is going to look like. There may be back-to-backs in the playoffs. So you need a 1A and a 1B. So I think you're seeing what you're going to see this summer is team that started with this deal with Montreal. But I think you're going to see teams that want to have two goaltenders that they can split the workload with.
But I don't think people would want the one tag for the 1A to be $10 million. Will it change Jim Benning's thinking? Will it change the thinking of Chicago and those who have to sign or are looking for goaltending? Or will it change the negotiations for the agents going, my guy's a number one guy, we want Bobrovsky money, and they go, that's not happening anymore?
I don't think that's happening anymore. You're going to see a contraction in the industry I'm curious how many teams, everyone's talking about flat cap. I'm curious how many teams plan to spend to the cap. Like, the revenue side of our industry has been decimated. You're going to see a contraction on coaches' salaries. Like, I did a radio show just a little bit ago, and they asked me, you know, would they spend $6 million on a coach? I'm like, I don't think anyone's going to anymore. And you're going to see a contraction. I don't think teams are going to spend to the cap next year because the revenues aren't going to be there. So instead of having, like, when the league set the cap up, they predicted that, you know, 10 teams would spend well below the cap, 10 teams would spend around, you know, like $5 million below the cap, and then $10 million would be cap teams. Well, we've got pretty much everyone's near the cap now. So you got a cap crunch with no team success, but teams are still spending to the cap. There's going to be an adjustment there. And I think teams are going to say, no, we're not spending. It's a flat cap, but our revenues are going to be cut dramatically, so we're not spending. And we're not going to pay GMs what we paid them. We're not going to pay coaches what we paid them. You're not going to see a $6 million coach again, in my view, not for a few years. I think the industry is going to bounce back nicely, but it's going to take several years. So I don't get the Montreal $15 million on the goaltending position. I don't get it. I don't think it's going to be this is a copycat league, but I don't think that's what they're going to copy. This might be tied into Seattle. Maybe they've got a deal with Seattle that Seattle's going to take Carey Price. I don't know. But they're stuck for $15 million at the goaltending position for the coming year. I don't see a lot of teams following that lead.
Well, and just you look at how it all kind of looks right now. You're right. I don't think anybody wants to subscribe to $15.5 million committed to the goaltending position. But Brian Burke with us here on Sportsnet 650. I talked to a goalie coach last year, and I remember him even saying that even $7 million seemed like a steep price to commit to a number one goaltender when you also have to pay your backup. Like, what is going to be a palatable amount allocated to that position, which is, hey, let's face it, Brian, like, you need a good goaltender to win, but the idea of the lockdown shutdown maybe seems to be changing. Like, what's going to be the cap allocation now for goaltending in your mind?
I don't know. Somewhere between 8 and 10 million is what makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. 8 million would be 10% of your cap, and 10 million would be slightly more than that, obviously, but I can't see it being much more than that, and I don't see $10 million salaries in this new world, which is flat cap for 2 years, but it's going to be 5 years. The cap's not going up for maybe 4 years, but the cap's not going up. The flat cap for 2 years. And everyone keep in mind that it's really 70% of a flat cap because the players have agreed to a 20% escrow cap, and it's going to be way over 20%. So they're going to lose 20% of their salaries for sure, and a 10% deferment. So it's a 30% rollback on wages for players. And you're going to see that continue going forward.
But Brian, just to that, to the idea of the revenue dropping, you know, we all anticipate the new TV deal out of the U.S. and I would think it's probably going to be more in line to a dollar amount comparable to what they've got here in Canada from what Rogers, our own parent company, has provided to the National Hockey League. Wouldn't that help?
Yes, and that I think that's the bet. The bet is that the league said, okay, we'll stay with the flat cap and we'll get that new TV deal, and that may save everything. But that, let's get that money in the bank and then we'll spend it.
Yeah.
You've played every role in this sport, including agent. How long do you think the conversation is between GM and agent of a Taylor Hall and something before the GM goes, like, when you come into the reality, our new revenue, that's fine? Because as the agent, wouldn't he try and start in that neighborhood that's been there, the comparables through previous years? Is it a long conversation before you can bring that agent to the reality of what 2021 and the future is going to be like?
Well, the canary in the coal mine for me was Marco Scandella, who signed an extension with St. Louis at current terms, basically based on salaries a year ago. And that's encouraging if you're a player. And if teams continue to spend the cap, there's no reason to think that there'll be a dramatic reduction in salaries because they're going to – the teams can continue to pay current salaries, okay? So take your payroll for this past season. Teams can continue to pay that as long as the league claws back some of it. And that's the method that they've used rather than say, okay, we're going to shrink the cap. We'll keep the cap flat, and then we'll agree to certain, you know, next year it's 16% cap on escrow. But you're going to see teams, I think, not spend the cap, and so salaries are going to drop. Now, this group of UFAs, and it's unfortunate because I think it's really, to become an unrestricted free agent as an elite player, just remember what you have to do. You have to play that last year without any safety net. So John Tavares, to become an unrestricted free agent, Alex Petrangelo, Torrey Krug, these guys all had to play a year with no protection if they blew out a knee or had a career-ending injury. And those guys should get paid. Like, I like when those guys get paid. I think it'll be a little different this summer. I don't think you're going to see the term that guys got in the past. I don't think you'll see seven-year deals. And I think you'll see some reduction in salary. They're not going to hit the jackpot. And that's unfortunate because, again, you only get that chance. Most players only get it once, and they run a considerable risk to get there. So I like when those guys get paid, but I'm not sure they're going to get paid this summer.
Brian Burke here on Sportsnet 650. I want to bring it back to St. Thatcher Demko here for a second there, Berkey. And you mean
St. Thatcher? St. Thatcher?
St. Thatcher, exactly. Saint Thatcher. You know, right? You know, there's St. Patrick, and then there's St. Ignatius and St. Thatcher. And, you know, you look at how he pulls off that 42 save performance. I get it's one game. And suddenly, you know, a lot of people are excited with what he was able to do in relief of Jacob Markstrom. But, like, what sort of body of work does Thatcher need to maybe run the table here? Like, if he wins tonight, and, just, like, humor me for just a moment. Canucks force a game 7. Canucks pull off the shock and awe miracle and knock off Vegas. Like, does it become Thatcher's net foreseeable future now? Or does it go back to Markstrom when he's ready to go?
I don't know. Like, that would be your worst nightmare as a GM and your fondest hope.
Yeah.
Like what Benji's hoping right now, again, for people listening, when Jim Benning played for me, we called him Benji, and I still call him Benji. It's not disrespectful at all. I love the guy. But when Benji goes to sleep at night, last night he's praying that Thatcher Demko can do the same thing twice more. That's all he's praying for. And then whatever problems that generates on re-signing Markstrom or wherever you go from there, an expansion, he's not worried about that right now. This is all about trying to win the next couple games.
Well, I can imagine how his phone would be lighting up, though, and saying, hey, what do you want for Thatcher Demko if you're going to sign Markstrom? Let me ask you this. The success of Hutchinson, and I think Hutchinson's maybe a certain different situation than what Demko has, because Demko's won, as you said, at every level he's played. But do you think part of the fact that these goalies have been interchangeable in the playoffs is because they don't have 18,000 fans on their case when they let a soft one in? There's no jeering. They're just worried about get the puck out. What's next?
No.
You don't think so? You don't think like playing on the road in the playoffs, you don't think those fans make a difference mentally to the goalies if they're struggling?
No.
Can I ask it in another way, or will the answer be no? Okay, there goes my theory.
I don't know. I don't think that's a factor. I think the goaltending position has so much pressure built into it. You think if you let in a softie and no one's booing you that your teammates aren't looking at you like, what the hell's the matter with you? Like, that is an insular position. It is a unique position. My roommate in college was a goaltender, and he tried to explain it. He said, you have no idea. I make a mistake, and the goalie still has a chance to stop it. He makes a mistake, and it's a goal. And he's got his whole 19 teammates looking at him like, what the hell's the matter with you? It's just, I don't think the crowd factors in, and I don't think Hutchinson's the same. I don't think he got the quality, the level of work or the quality of shots that Thatcher Demko saw. Like, Thatcher Demko made some unbelievable saves, like surefire goals without a miraculous save. Like, he was terrific. And I hate Boston College with a passion. They were our rival when I played at Providence. I hate Boston College, but I like this kid. When we drafted the year of Thatcher Demko's draft, he went 2 picks after we took Mason McDonald. And Mason McDonald's a big lefty from Halifax. Great kid, 6'4". Hasn't worked out just yet, but great kid. The reason we didn't take Thatcher Demko is he told us in the interview process he was going to have one hip operated on that summer. and his other hip operated on the next summer. And we're like, man, that's too many surgeries. We're taking McDonald. But this is a kid, he's paid an awful price to get to the NHL. California kid. I never went back and checked if he had the surgery, but I'm pretty sure he did. He had both hips done while he was playing in college and still was an All-American. So, like, this kid's legit in terms of the work he's put in to get there. And he might be for real. I'm just not ready to canonize him just yet. Like, find the site in Stanley Park, but don't start building the statue.
I don't know if the market in today's climate is optimal for building statues anyway, wouldn't you say, Brian?
No. No. I have a tendency to get dragged down later.
Yeah, exactly. Ask John A. you look at what happens, you know, as Perry just alluded to, you've got a game seven now between the Avs and the Stars. I mean, it's unfortunate one of these two teams are going to go home, but, you know, what do you do in Dallas if they blow a 3-1 lead? Like, that's still a team that's built for the foreseeable future, but what happens to Dallas if they drop the ball on this?
Well, I think, you know, you guys know the owner. He's local. He's not going to be patient with that result. Mm-hmm. When you blow a lead, you remember the 1 year we beat St. Louis? We were down 3-1 and we beat them, yeah. And then we blew a 3-1 lead with Minnesota. And ownership was not happy. Not happy. You should close it out. And the mathematics say, I think the teams that I just was reading before, doing my research before I came on, teams that win a game five and force a six and win game six, I think the results in game seven are about 50-50. I don't think it's this big roll of momentum. And I could have this wrong, and someone will point it out right away, I'm sure. But reading an article, it says 50-50 when you force a game seven. So it's truly a coin toss. But it's a remarkable thing if you can do it. I remember when we did it against St. Louis. Remember how happy we all were? You guys were around. Everyone's ecstatic. It's like climbing Mount Everest. And then we blew a 3-1 lead with Minnie. But it's. I remember when I was an assistant GM, we played Winnipeg in the playoffs the 1 year, and we went down 3-1 and we beat them. And I knew when we won game five that we would win the series. I really believe that. But, I don't think in Dallas, I don't think it'll be status quo. Now, they're a team that really relies on their top players, and their top players delivered early in the series. And last couple of games, they haven't done much.
Would you rather be going into this game, and Travis said a win was a win, would you rather be going into this game as a GM of a team who didn't play well and won, or if the Canucks were spectacular two nights ago and full credit for a bigger win? Because to me, I didn't think they were great as a team. They got some really good performances, and this is a team that always bounces back. I have a feeling tonight, the performance, whether it's worth a win or not, will be better than 2 days ago. Does it make a difference for the mindset?
Well, if you're going to rely on that quality goaltending and that few chances to score, like they got some great – Brock Besser was great. Petey was great. But if you're going to rely on that formula to win the next game, I think it's a mistake. I mean, the odds are the eye test. Okay, we all watch the game. Forget whether you're a Canucks fan or a Vegas fan. Vegas outplayed Vancouver badly. So if you're going to rely on that formula that, okay, if Demko can make 40 saves, some of them otherworldly, and we win, I think that's a bad formula. I think they have to make some adjustments, and I think they can't get hemmed in like they did. I like one thing they did. They tried to get the puck out quickly. There weren't lengthy stretches where they were forechecked to death. But if they play the same way they played, they're probably going to lose. So I think Travis Green's a good coach. He'll make some adjustments, and this team has heart. This team has heart. They don't quit. I love that about this team.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have kind of fallen in love with this team again because of the way that they've shown this resiliency. Before we let you go, I got to ask you, it came up in conversation when we had Kevin Bieksa here on this show 24 hours ago. Maybe just get you to maybe elaborate on the context that he alluded to, a quote to you that he attributed saying, Berkey says Vancouver has more geniuses in the media per capita than anywhere else than the world.
Yeah. What I said was in social media and in the media, there are more geniuses per capita than anywhere else in the world. The social media swarm that surrounds Vancouver is just bizarre. Now, I don't follow any of it. I have a Twitter account, but I don't follow anybody. My daughter does my Twitter account so that I can't say something really stupid. I can say something stupid, but so I don't follow it. But I know from my friends in Vancouver, the like people will be tweeting about this interview while I'm doing it. Well, Brian Burke just said this. He's an idiot. It's crazy how Vancouver is split. The split in the media and the social media. You've got this loyal fan group that loves their team, and then you've got all these negative idiots. And so, yeah, that's what I said. There's more geniuses per capita in social media and the media. Not taking a dig at the media. Because I'm in the media now.
There you go. You're one of us. Well, you, like everything else, you're invested and you're excited about what's going to happen tonight. You know one thing about this city. The passion is always there when the Canucks play. House money, and it's been fun to watch them. We look forward to watching you tonight, and let's hope we get one more tomorrow night, because that'll be an awful lot of fun. Thanks, Berkey.
It would be. Thanks, guys.